This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big guest lineup on the show today. Kevin McCarthy will join us at 7. We'll talk movies and more with him. John Feinstein will join us at 8, as he does every Friday. And we'll talk Major League Baseball with John Shombi, Major League Baseball play-by-play voice for both the Cubs and the big games on ESPN. He will be with us at 9:20.
We could talk some college hoops with him, too.
Yep. But right now, we go to the BetQL guest hotline. We're joined by Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end. Co-host the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. What's up, Logan? Good morning.
Not, man. Not much, man. Good morning. You guys are animals, man, for this early morning schedule. So for you guys.
Trust us.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's killing us.
It's a grind.
I was going to say slowly. I don't even know if it's that slowly, to be honest. Probably rapidly. Yeah, that's probably the way it's.
What are you up at 6:24?
I mean, I have clients that I train. You know, I do have like a personal training business on the side. So okay. My first client's at 7, so get up, around 6:15.
Very good. Logan's going to tell us. Hard. He's going to go tell us do burpees and crunches as soon as we're done with this interview.
I would love to be able to get up at 6:15 every day.
It's cool. Yeah, right. Sleep in a little bit for you
exactly.
guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Logan, let's get into the pro days for both Drake May and Jaden Daniels. And before we drill down on those guys specifically, how big of a piece of the puzzle do you think Pro Day is for Adam Peters and his staff when they're flying into Baton Rouge to see Daniels? And then the next day, they're in Chapel Hill to see Drake May throw. How big is that, you know, when you throw in their college tape, the combine, the personal interviews? How big is the Pro Day for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's just another data point in terms of, the GM, Dan Quinn, all these guys getting to meet them one more time. You know, they don't get that many opportunities to kind of like interact with them. Obviously, you mentioned the combine interview, but if you think about it, it's the combine interview, it's the pro day, and then it's maybe the official visit. So of those three, can I kind of get a feel for the guy? And I think that's where the value really comes in. It's not necessarily what you're seeing on the field. I think it's like it kind of confirms some things. Like for me, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, it just isolates the quarterback's mechanics a little bit more, lets you see kind of what the stuff they've been working on since the season ended. But, you know, it's the films probably, for me, probably like 80%, the combines, 10%, and then this would kind of fill out the rest. And I don't have access to the interview stuff, which I think is maybe the most important part of that process. But, for me and the way I evaluate, that's kind of how I look at it. But, yeah, I think it's more of just another data point to kind of, hey, let's go out to dinner tonight. Let's see how you are with the hostess. Let's see how you are around your teammates. Let's make sure you're the type of guy we want in our program that's going to lead the program, be the face of the franchise for the next decade. And I think that's why the pro days are so, so critical.
I know that the pro days are generally pretty scripted by the staff, the handlers, the people that are surrounding these top prospects. But if Adam Peters goes to one of these pro days, and I'm not picking out anybody specific, and say he doesn't see something that he wants to see, can he go up to Jaden or Drake May or whoever's running the pro day and say, I want to see, can we see X, Y, and Z? Because we haven't seen that yet. Like, or is it just, you're going to see what this person is going to yeah, it has on the schedule, and they're not really going to deviate from the script. Can you give any insight on that?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's pretty much like that's why you do the pro day, because it's in the player's hands. So like from a player's perspective, that's why I want to do my pro day, because I get to show you what I think you need to see. And so I think like if you look at Drake May's pro day, right, I think he did a lot of stuff. They kind of said, hey, look at my mechanics. I've cleaned them up a little bit over the last couple of days. I think when you say with Jaden Daniels, it was a little bit more like things that spoke to his skill set, like quick release. The deep balls, obviously, I think he missed two of them, but I think overall, pretty solid day. And then Caleb Williams, I thought was interesting because it's just like, hey, man, you know, this is what I do. I can play in structure. I have good footwork. I have good fundamentals. So it was really like any question that could have come up in the process that, you know, is this guy ready to be an NFL starting quarterback? These are steps that I've taken individually, you know, these three guys we just talked about, to kind of clean up some of those things and kind of present a better case as to why I should be picked in the top five.
Logan, do you think that Quinn and Peters knew who they wanted going into the pro days? And if not, do you think they know who they want now?
You know, what's funny is I've heard multiple stories from different scouts and, you know, GM type people where it's like, oh, we knew weeks before he went to the pro day. I personally think that they don't know specifically yet. I think they have a pretty good idea. I think just because they got started so late, you know, obviously Dan's been dealing with obviously hiring the staff and, you know, getting everything kind of acclimated here in Ashburn. And I think Adam is kind of, you know, had to hit the ground running. And I think I don't want to say they're behind the process, but I think they're just being extra thorough. And I think they started later than everybody else in the NFL. So
right.
I think they have a pretty good idea, but I don't think they have it definitively defined yet. And honestly, like, I don't think anything that you would have seen at the pro day would change that. I think maybe some of the conversations they had with those guys at the pro day might be swaying them one way or another. But I think it's also important to remember, like, the coaches also start evaluating quarterbacks, start evaluating offensive talent much, much later. It starts kind of right around now, maybe a week ahead of this. So those inputs are still going to be coming in. They're still going to be having conversations with guys like Cliff. So I think it's still a very fluid process. And, you know, I don't think there's any issue with that.
Mm-hmm. Logan, I think a lot of people were holding their breath as Jaden Daniels stepped on the scale in Baton Rouge during his pro day, because he didn't do that at the combine. So he measured at 6'3 plus, almost 6'4. But the more important measurable there was his weight. He comes in at 210, and there's been a lot of speculation about, well, this guy's going to get killed on the pro level. Look at the thunderous hits he's taking in the SEC. It's only going to get worse when he's in the NFL. Did that help soothe some of the fears from people that, look, he's 210. Do you want him at 220? Sure, but right now he's 210, could probably add some weight to that frame. So does that help answer some questions for people about Jaden's height and weight?
I mean, I'm sure it does for some people. For me, it didn't really matter. Like, I think the thing about Jaden, when you watch him play, there's obviously he's taking these big hits, but I do think there's kind of a pliability to his body that prevents him from taking injuries. You know, like he doesn't get hurt on these scrambling hits because he is kind of he's like flexible. You know, like when the hit comes, he kind of morphs around the defender's body and isn't in a position where he's like in a rigid static structure that's going to cause him to get injured. So, you know, like I think people make a lot of the weight as a durability thing. You know, like Nate Tice is always talking about how there's been no successful small underweight quarterbacks in the last 15 years outside of guys like Kirk Cousins. And I understand that, but I think everybody's a little bit different. I think everyone's got a little bit different play style. And I don't think this is going to drastically affect him positively or negatively one way or the other. And I think we all know that he's added weight. If he's not running his 40, he's added weight to get to this number. So this is like an artificially inflated number a little bit. I think he had hold more weight. I think he looked fine at 210. But for me, it's not a huge data point.
So I didn't see the May Pro Day. I just saw some highlights, read some things. I assume you saw it. So was there anything that kind of flashed for you, or was it pretty steady? I did read that he had a couple mishaps early. Maybe that was nerves. I don't know. Then he settled down and threw some nice deep balls at the end. But what did you make of it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the thing with Drake is, like, when you watch him, you know, when you watch his college film, he's extremely talented. And I think you saw that yesterday with his pro day. He's obviously got, you know, arm talent, you know, kind of to spare. But I think the problem with him that I keep coming back to, and the reason I have a hard time kind of, you know, pushing him up the board a little bit for me personally is, there's an inconsistency to his play, and then I think that stems from his footwork. So I think on a couple of his early misses, you saw some issues, like with his weight transfer, he's kind of leaving his front leg open, the ball staying a little high, gets away from him. And that's kind of what he was in college, you know, is he's got this tremendous talent. He's delivering this awesome throw, and the next throw is a little bit off because his feet, his arm angle, you know, his mechanics aren't totally locked in. So I think that in some ways it just kind of informed what you already saw. But I think he did make an effort, I thought, to kind of clean up some of that stuff. And I thought outside of probably, I think it was four or five throws, looked pretty consistent. But, you know, it's hard as a talent evaluator to be like, man, he's gonna really have this locked in for week one. And we're going to be able to play in week one when these fundamental issues, I think, kind of keep cropping up. Again, he's probably the most talented guy, or probably has the most upside of the top four guys. But, you know, like the fundamental issues mm-hmm. keep popping up. And it's unusual that it happens when you're throwing the football in air, I think.
So. Is that something that can be worked out?
I think 100%. Yeah. I mean, I think you saw an improvement from the season. You know, I think that's why some, like, you know, Dan Orlovsky is really high on him all of a sudden, is because, oh, he's worked on his fundamentals. But I think you see that every single year. You see guys for their pro day look a little bit cleaner than they did in season. And then when they get to training camp, they've kind of reverted back to some of the old fundamentals. And I think what it does show you as a talent evaluator is that you can get some of that stuff corrected. And if you can get some of that stuff corrected, I think you get really excited about where his ceiling is, because like when you watch his big time throws, when you watch his ability to kind of make plays from the pocket and extend plays, and it's high level stuff. He probably has the highest kind of, I would say, great in that area of any of those top four guys in the class. So he's an exciting prospect for sure, but there is a lot of uncertainty about him. And again, because of the inconsistent mechanics, it's like he has a really high ceiling, also a pretty low floor. And it really depends on the environment that he's going to, you know, do the Commanders have the ecosystem around him from a quarterback mentoring standpoint, from a receiver talent standpoint, from an offensive line standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, to allow him to be the best version of himself over the next 5 years, over the length of that rookie deal. And I think that's the big question that, you know, and that's why Adam Peters makes a ton of money, is for questions like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Joined by Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end, co-host the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman. Let's switch over to Daniels for just a second. What do you make of people who ding him because he's surrounded by crazy talent at LSU? He's throwing to two first-round wideouts that'll be in this upcoming draft as well, along with him. In my opinion, you shouldn't fault a guy because he's got good guys to throw to, but some of these guys are getting wide open down the field. Those windows are going to shrink in the NFL. Is that something that Adam Peters and company are thinking about, or does that concern them?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I mean, they can only speak to what they're concerned about and what they're thinking about. But for me, I think the thing that sticks out is just, they're talented guys. Joe Burrow was also throwing to talented guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to look at the types of throws he's making, his process in the pocket, his process at the line of scrimmage, and say, what is transferable? I think that's one of the things about Jaden Daniels' film is, they're, in terms of throws over the middle of the field, timing throws, full field reads, there are elements of that when you watch his film. It's just not in the volume of some of the other guys, like a J.J. McCarthy, for example. So you have to extrapolate a lot off of a smaller number of throws, smaller number of opportunities. But I think the thing with Jaden Daniels that gets you super excited, just all the time, anytime you're watching his film, is he is just such a consistent playmaker. He's got great poise. And again, when the team needs him to do something dramatic, he's able to deliver at the highest level. And, you know, obviously his running ability is well talked about. But I think he does have an excellent release. And I think you saw that at the pro day. His mechanics and his fundamentals when it comes to throwing the football are very, very high. He's very clean in that area. And it allows him to, again, make some of these throws over the middle of the field work through full field progressions because he's trusting his feet, he's trusting his rhythm, he's trusting his timing. So in some ways, I think he's a little bit more better developed. And, you know, I think those things, the rhythms, the arm mechanics, the athleticism are things that it doesn't matter who he's throwing the ball to because those things are going to be transferable to the NFL level. Regardless of the receiver and the talent that's out there for him to throw the ball to. So
Logan, this team is in a really good spot in terms of draft capital. All right. Coming off the bad year, you know, obviously they restructured the roster. Number two pick, going to be a quarterback, but they've got the 36th pick and the 40th pick. So you're going to get two really good players there in the second round, early in the second round. Then you've got three third rounders. So you've got six picks in the top 100. And that's just now. I mean, that's on paper. Maybe they make some moves on draft day or draft weekend and acquire more. But after the quarterback, what do you like them to do at 36-40 and maybe into the third round?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I've appreciated about Adam Peters' process is they've done a really good job of filling the roster, so you don't really need to draft for need. You can draft for best talent available. I think you still have offensive line, specifically talent, circled at 36. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses over the next couple of weeks as, you know, all these kind of draft analysts are taking these players that were really, really good football players that were going to be there at 36 to play offensive line. And slowly they're creeping up into like the mid-20s, which is always what happens with offensive linemen, especially in a year where, you know, safety's down, cornerback's not as dense. There's no linebackers going to go in the first round. Edge rushers a little bit light this year in the first round. So, you know, as the process goes on, it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I think 36 would be a great opportunity for a guy like Kingsley Suamataia or Patrick Paul, guys that are very, very athletically gifted, but there's a little bit of a developmental process to their game. And I think at 36 or 40, if there's a talented edge rusher there, you know, like Demaryius Robinson from Missouri, I think he fits Dan's vision of having physical, talented, tough players. And I think he kind of fits that mold, but there's also guys like Noah Ellis from Utah, who has tremendous pass rush upside. So there are guys there. It's just about kind of what's your flavor and how the board falls to you, honestly. And I think Adam's done a great job of saying, you know, we've filled needs, and so we don't have to reach or don't have to force anything here. We can get the best person, best talent available. But I do think those two spots specifically, I think you need a corner, a guy that's going to be kind of a game changer on the outside would be awesome to just to add depth to that position. But again, that might be something that happens in, you know, after the draft in terms of free agency, someone gets cut, they might need some veteran leadership there. So I think those are kind of the three positions I would just kind of circle in pencil and say, if I was targeting something, those are positions I would look at. And then I think for the latter third round picks there, I'd probably look at receiver. It's just such a dense receiver class. It's just such a talented group. I think you need to come out of this draft with one of those guys. It just depends on where you feel the value is. And quite honestly, like, I've done about 30 receivers, and I'd say 20 of them are probably third round players and up. Yeah. So I think there's a tremendously talented group there. So I think you can kind of make that pick wherever you need to make it. But those are the four positions I'd kind of say keep an eye on in the draft, specifically in those top 100 picks.
I don't know if you know this, but your last name has changed today. It's Logan Peters.
Yeah, it certainly is.
No.
So who is Logan Peters selecting at number two, assuming Caleb Williams is off the board?
Yeah, I mean, this is the million-dollar question, honestly, and that's something everyone asks me all the time. And if you had an hour, I could probably give you a detailed answer. But what I would say is that if I had to start someone, you know, today, tomorrow, of the three guys in the top, I would probably lean towards Jaden Daniels. I think he just has a consistency to his game. He has a playmaking upside that I get really excited about. Is he a perfect prospect? Absolutely not. So, like, do you still need to insulate him? Do you still need to make sure that you're kind of speaking to what he does well? 100%. And then I think, honestly, again, if I had to start someone today, it's probably J.J. McCarthy would be next. I know a lot of people get a little bit spooked by that, but when you watch this film, man, he's got a ton of NFL throws, tight windows, a deep understanding of progression and timing and rhythm. He has a live arm. I think one of the reasons people come out of his pro day so excited about what he can do is it's the first time they've seen him throw. in the media, on the media side of it, and they realize, man, he is a talented son of a gun. He can run the football, throw the football at a high level. And I think if you're aiming for upside, I think you're looking at Drake May. So I think if you can kind of find a way, and I think Adam said this, you know, a couple days ago, like to have him sit for 8 weeks, you know, something like that, let him grow, let him develop, clean up some of that fundamental stuff. I think his ceiling's probably the highest, but I do think there's a lot of risk associated with that pick. So if I had to pick someone for to start for the Commanders tomorrow, it's Jaden Daniels. But again, I think the other guys, there are visions and pathways where they would be the pick, given the infrastructure that they've been able to set up on the team. And so I think that's something that, you know, only Adam knows, but something to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks is how they start talking about, you know, their vision for the quarterback at that spot. And what I mean by that is, like, is he going to sit? Is he going to have to play a lot? Are we going to run the football? Those types of comments, I think, will better inform kind of the direction that the team is thinking with regards to that position.
Logan, gotcha. Thanks as always, man. Go train those clients, and we'll talk to you again soon, man. We appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah,
yeah, man. Weekend.
That's Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end. He co-hosts the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman from the Team 980. We always appreciate his insight into draft prospects and film. He's very good at breaking it down. All right, coming up next, we will get into Nationals opening day and Orioles opening day. They were radically different. We'll get into them next here on The Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.